Well, good morning, y'all. Look forward to seeing all of you this morning. Trust everybody's encouraged in the Lord today. I'd like to write a little thought on the board. Two words. I feel privileged today that we serve a God today that's a present God, a God that that cares about us. He is an alive God, and He's a God that, if we will let Him, He would like to illuminate our path so that we can walk in sure places. There's a lot of unsure places out there today, and I'm not really interested in walking in them. And because there's a lot of people that are, and they're in trouble. And I'd like to be spared that if I could. And I believe that's the desire of the Lord. He calls us by name, and He looks down upon and He sees where each one of us individually are traveling, and extends us a hand of help. And I'm humbled by it. I want to do my part. Because we have a part. I've written on the board, I thought. And there's two different kinds of, maybe more, ways to define the word think. One of the definitions of the word think is when you ponder, when you meditate, when you consider something, you think on it. That's good. And I want to do that. I want to do that often. I want to think before I speak. I want to think before I act. There's another definition of think. I think this or that. And that means it's a formed opinion or belief that isn't necessarily validated by facts or truth. And we all think a lot of things, don't we? I do. We all think pretty highly of our opinions. Most of us do, don't we? And we think a lot about our thoughts and our beliefs and our formed opinions. And the latter is what I'd like to talk about and consider a little bit this morning, and trust that these thoughts will be of benefit to you. Have you ever heard somebody, after an unexpected event or coming face to face with unexpected reality, and it didn't turn out like they thought it was going to, and they said, well, I thought, and then they go on to describe to you what they thought that was in error, that they had based their beliefs on, they had based their actions on, only it wasn't based in what reality was. And they got into trouble because of it. In fact, their thought process was an error. They didn't see it in the fullness of reality. And sometimes people can live their lives for long periods of time thinking certain things that aren't based on fact. Brother Austis Wilson said one time, he said, people that live according to a form only, it's going to be detrimental to them. They need to have a vision. They need to be enlightened so that they can understand why it is they're doing what they're doing. You get into trouble otherwise, eventually. I went into work one day, years ago, and a co-worker of mine said, Rod, he said, you know, he said, every time we have ham at home, he said, it's always cut in half. And he said, so I asked my wife, why do you cut the ham in half? And she said, well, because that's what the recipe, we've always eaten it that way. That's the recipe. You cut the ham in half, you prepare it XYZ like this, you turn the oven up to this temperature, you put it in for this amount of time, and you eat it and it's good, and that's how you eat it. Yeah, but what does cutting the ham in half have to do with it? What's the benefit of that? Well, that's how you do it. That's how you eat, that's how this recipe is. That's what you're supposed to do. Well, it didn't satisfy his mind. And so it just so happened he was going to be eating at his mother-in-law's house. If I recall, it's been a lot of years ago, if I recall, they had ham. And the ham was cut in half. And so he thought, here's my opportunity. So he asked her, he said, why do you cut the ham in half? And she said, well, because that's how our family's always eaten ham. That's what the recipe is. You cut the ham in half and you prepare it like this and you put it in the oven at this temperature and on down the line, and that's just how you do it. And he's still scratching his head trying to figure it out. Just so happened the grandmother was still living. So he got in a place, and I hope he did it carefully, thought before he talked. And he got her, and he said, Miss, whatever her name was, he said, how do you, my wife, she cuts the ham in half, and then her mom, and they said, that's the way that you always do it. That's the recipe. He said, why do you cut the ham in half? And she said, I cut the ham in half because my pan wasn't big enough to hold the whole ham. So that's why I cut the ham in half. But all these years, there was a lot of stock that went into cutting the ham in half. Because there was a belief that somehow it was going to change the outcome of how the ham was cooked. Well, that's a benign example where nobody got hurt. But you know, there's a lot of people in the world that just after becoming seriously hurt in a home accident, an industrial accident of which I'm familiar, some of the very first words that come out of their mouths during an accident investigation, if they're still alive, well, I thought, I've been doing it this way, I thought. And then they go on to describe what they thought. But it was in error. Amen. Coupled with, and they failed to validate. They failed to turn some light on. They failed to understand and make sure what it was behind what the data said, what the facts demonstrated, to make sure that whatever it was they were thinking was based on something that was real. Well, my message this morning it's not how to cook ham. And it's not about industrial accidents. and safe work practices that folks maybe ought to take. But my burden this morning is that I want to make decisions in my life. I want to understand the risks that are associated with living my life where I'm not validating, where I'm not digging in to make sure that I understand why it is that I'm living like I'm living, or thinking what I'm thinking, or being discouraged about whatever it is that I'm discouraged about. Did you know what? If I'm going to be discouraged, I sure want to make sure it's something worth being discouraged about. And then I probably need to think twice about whether I really need to be discouraged. But we get down and we get discouraged and we get our eyes off course many times for things that they're not even based on reality. And the Lord would have our eyes to be enlightened to so many things that I think we fail to be enlightened on. I'd like to read a verse in Ephesians, the first chapter, the 17th verse. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. I want to read that again. I'll make sure that we get that. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who understands all, the one who is above all, may give you, me and you, the spirit of wisdom. Amen. That we get from the Father, the all-knowing, a revelation in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that ye may know, based on truth, what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe. I think today that there is land that God wants us to possess that our eyes have not been opened to. They're veiled. We see the horizon and we think that that's all the water that there is because we're not up in an elevated place. We haven't had our eyes open so that we can see what God has for us. The glory of His riches, the hope of His calling, the exceeding power to you. When you're in trouble, when the way looks dark, when you don't understand, when you feel like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do, this giant's bigger than I am. Oh, but we look up to the hills from whence cometh our help. And realize our help cometh from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. And the power that He has is exceedingly great. And the inheritance that He has for me is rich and wonderful. Does that encourage you today? God wants us to be encouraged. He wants our eyes to be opened. He doesn't want them to be veiled in darkness. There's another place in 1 John 2:11, and it speaks of one that walks in darkness and doesn't know where they're going because their eyes, it said, darkness has blinded their eyes. It's not that this person didn't have his eyes didn't have the ability to see, the capacity to see. It's that the person allowed themselves to remain in a dark place. Amen. So then they couldn't see. I mean, if you want to see, go where there's light. If you're trying to pull a splinter out and it's hurting really bad, you don't go into a dark closet to pull the splinter out. You turn the light on. You get where you can see. A lot of times this light isn't good enough. You go out where the sun is, where the sunshine is, where the Son of God is. Go where you can be exposed to real light, not artificial light. When you have a problem and you need to be able to see to make a good decision, and it's important, and life and death is there, or someone's hard and it's important, and you wanna have the best information possible. Go where you can understand what the data says, what the facts are, what reality is. You don't go into a dark place. Go where the light is. And yet so many people confine themselves to environments where there's no light. And then we wonder why we can't see. We wonder why we think the way we do. We wonder why we don't understand. We wonder why the way, when we look ahead, it looks like there's no options. It looks like we can see the end of our options. Heard a man one time, he never seen the ocean before, and he went out, and the first time he ever saw the water, he stepped out and he looked, and he saw where the water met the horizon. He said, "Huh, well, if that's all there is to it." He had no idea the water kept going and going. If he had stepped out into the water and started exploring the water and the depths of it, he'd have found that it just kept going and going and going. And sometimes we limit ourselves and we look out and we think we see where it ends. And then we just stay right where we are. And the Lord's beckoning us to come. Come closer. Come where I am. Come know who I am. Yoke up with me. Let me do something for you. Let me open your eyes of understanding so that your vision, you'd be able to see it. Sometimes people say, you talk to them about some spiritual things sometimes, and they're in a dark place, and they say, "Well, I just don't see it." And sometimes they don't think they're in a dark place. They think they're enlightened and you're the one that's darkened. And they expound to you that, "Well, that I just don't see it." And they don't. You know, a long time ago I used to think they're just not being honest with themselves. How can you say that? I mean, the Bible says that. How can you say that you don't see any of this? But when people walk in darkness, you don't know where you're going. And pretty soon you don't see it. And so the Lord asks us, He beckons us, come where the light is. Understand me. If we don't do that, then our trust, our hope, our salvation, our vision is going to be limited. A few weeks back, we read about the men on the road to Emmaus. And do you remember when we read that the men, were they happy? Were the men happy walking down the road? They weren't, were they? Were their heads up? Did they have courage? It was like, "Yes, we're encouraged today. We're headed to Emmaus." No. They were headed away from Jerusalem. They were headed away from where they had gotten to know God. They were headed away to this little place called Emmaus, away from everything where they had learned of God, where Jerusalem was, where God dwelt. And their heads were down, and they were sad. And by the time Jesus caught up with them, well, He caught up with them at the right time when He wanted to catch up with them, their heads were down, and they were sad. And you remember what they said? They said, "But we trusted. We had trusted, we had faith that that this man was going to redeem Israel. We trusted that. Well, and their faith was, I mean, they saw through a glass darkly. They didn't get it all, you know, at the time that the Lord was explaining it to them. A lot of them were looking for a literal kingdom, you know, and they were figuring out where they were going to sit and where their place was going to be in the kingdom. But they did get a hold of the fact that this man, he was going to be the Redeemer. But now he was dead. Now he was gone. But we had trusted in these things. And then you know what happened? Then they thought. Then they moved here. And we thought this. And now, given the events, here's where we are. And their heads were down and they were sad. And it wasn't until the Lord opened their eyes that they realized He's alive. He's still alive. He's not in the grave. He is King. Well, we thought that all of these things were going to come to pass, and it seemed like it was moving in that direction, and we had seen these miracles happen, and I mean, like, nobody could do anything to Him, that He didn't allow them, and He would just get out of the biggest trouble that ever came His way, and He fed the multitudes, and we had faith, and we trusted, and we had this time of history and experiences that built our hope up. But now, do you ever find yourself there? Okay, I do. Most of us here today, we've been around God's people. We've been exposed to truth for our whole lives. We grew up in Jerusalem, if I can say it that way. The city of Jerusalem. We grow up where God's people are, and we've heard the truth, and we can begin to think a lot of things. But then sometimes we get in places where it looks like it's a house of cards, and something's falling apart, and it's not what I thought it was. And now I heard all these things and I believed in them, but now this. I mean, that's reality. It's where we live, y'all. We're people. We're humans with emotions. Yes. We live in a time and in a world and where there's trouble. The reality is that not everything is perfect out there. In fact, way far be it from that. And we live in that world. And we're affected by it, and we're influenced by it. And there's times that we can find ourselves in the place where we put so much stock. The Lord was going to hear me. I believed He was going to answer prayer. I have all these promises. But then this happened. He was crucified, and He was put in a grave, and He's in the tomb now, and He's gone, and we're headed to Emmaus. But when Jesus came by, and when they constrained Him not to keep going, you remember that part of the story? It said that He made as if He were going to go on. I kind of always wondered about that. Was He intending to go on, or was he really intending to go in, or was He just waiting to see kind of where they were coming from? I don't know, but the Scripture kind of said He made as if He were going to keep going, and it said they constrained Him. There was a flicker of hope. They heard something along the road that started to cause their chin to come up a little bit. Maybe it was at level now. Maybe it wasn't up yet, but it was at level, and they were. It was like something's going on here. We don't want to just let this go yet. No, please don't go on. Come in with us. Up with us. And it was after they constrained Him, folks, when they were in a dark place,
They still constrained him. It was after they constrained him that their eyes were opened and they were able to see. Oh, did not hearts burn within us? Yes, He is God. He is alive. Our hope was sure. He is the God of Israel. He is going to redeem Israel. And not just Israel, but every single person. Yes, Lord. And He cares about us. And He met with us on the road on our way to Emmaus. Thank the Lord. Did you know that the Lord comes after us when we head to Emmaus sometimes? Because He cares. He's patient with us. He wants... Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Yes. And He wants us to be interested in constraining Him. When the Lord comes by your way and He begins to convict your heart and He begins to cause you to start having meditating and pondering that maybe there's something more here. Embrace it. Constrain the Lord. Lord, please stop by my house. Lord, would you open my eyes because I just see darkness. I don't see light right now, Lord. I'm in a dark place. Lord, would you please come into my house and would you reveal to me the hidden things that I can't see because my eyes are veiled by darkness. The spirit of the enemy is in the world today working overtime to blind our eyes, to discourage us, to cause our young people to think that this way is second rate, is uninformed, is uneducated, is less than, is not necessary. And it's not just the young people. We are living in a world where we are being influenced. This isn't necessary, and that's not necessary. There's no reason to do this. God's bigger than this over here, and pretty soon you can live any way you want, and then you expect to be illuminated by light when we're going away from the Word of God. That's not where light is. That's not where joy is. That's not where victory is. Victory is giving ourselves to being in the place where light is, that we might have our eyes opened, that we might see that the Lord can establish a sure path for us. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. It says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that it exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you want to know what one of the very highest things that we put on a pedestal is? The things that we exalt to high places? It's our thoughts. It's our opinions. It's me. It's yourself. We exalt ourselves to a really high place a lot of times. We exalt man's thought process. We exalt man's reasoning to a place that it doesn't belong. Amen. And then what happens is it gets between us and the fulfillment of the promises of God, because we think too much about those things. We put them up on a high place. We exalt those things. And the Scripture says, cast down those things. Jeremiah said, the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. The Scripture in Proverbs says, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Why is it that we always think that's everybody else but us? I'm not trying to speak for everybody, but I'm human and I know the way I think. And everybody feels pretty strong about what they think and their opinions. And it seems like whoever you talk to, it's always somebody else that doesn't quite see it like they should. And there's a way that seems right to every person, but if we're not careful, the end thereof is going to end somewhere that we don't want it to end. Paul said it even more specifically. He said, let no man deceive himself. In the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise. Let him become a fool that he may be wise. For as it is written, the Lord taketh them in their own, what did it say? That the Lord taketh them in their own, taketh the wise in their own craftiness? Folks, the answer is in putting ourselves in the light of Jesus Christ. It's recognizing that we're going to have a lot of thoughts. We're going to think a lot of things. But be careful what beliefs you allow to be formed with the things that you ponder on and that you meditate on. We can allow things become fact in our minds after we think about them a while and ponder about them, just because it seems like it would be the right thing when it's not. So I want to leave these two points with you this evening or this morning. There's a lot that could be said on this because it goes so far. But I want to encourage you with the first point and challenge you with the second. I want to encourage you with this first point. The enemy will do everything he can to cause you and me to take on our own shoulders the task of our own salvation. Finding rest. Earning our salvation. Feeling like it's up to us to be righteous enough to earn my way into heaven. We get all the promises and everything, but then we buy into so quick when the enemy starts pointing out all of these reasons and we start questioning. When we're trying to do everything we can and our hearts right, we're endeavoring to follow the Lord, and then the enemy comes along and says, well, you fell down here and you're not perfect right here, and you know, when you can perfect yourself, then maybe we can talk about salvation. Jesus Christ came to bring the gift of salvation because we couldn't earn it on our own. I can't earn salvation. And yet Christians, like us, sometimes it's like we're New Testament Christians trying to live in the old dispensation under the law. And we're almost trying to earn our salvation by following this big old long list of all of these things, almost like we're still under the law so that we don't get stoned. And salvation is not by works, but it's by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It's by grace that ye are saved, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. And for conscientious people, for people that want to do right, the enemy uses this as a tactic to discourage us. Gets us in the place where we live our whole lives trying to earn our salvation and never finding the place where we feel righteous enough to earn our way into heaven. You never will. Our righteousness is of God. Yes, we have a responsibility. The kingdom of heaven is preached, and every man presseth into it. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We have a responsibility to be disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, not of the world. That's our part. Yes, there's crosses. Take up your cross, deny yourself, so that you can earn your salvation. No, so that you can follow Jesus Christ, so that He knows that you believe into Him. It's more than just, I believe that Jesus is God's Son. The devils do fear and tremble. Thou doeth well. The devils, they fear and tremble too. They believe that Jesus is God's Son too. But the Scripture teaches us to believe into Jesus Christ. Believe into Him to the point that we're willing to turn away from the world and follow Him, because He's the source of our salvation. So I want to encourage you with that this morning. If there are any discouraged this morning because you're here and you've been living a Christian life and you just struggle and you can't be good enough and you find, and there's always a book of things that won't allow you, Lord, to sit down and eat dinner with you because you're not good enough yet. Jesus Christ is our salvation. His exceeding power to usward, to cover our sins, to lift us up, to put a new song in our heart when we are yet sinking, because we look around and we see the waves and we see our inability to walk on water. And so, yes, we need to reach out our hand. We are dependent on Jesus Christ to lift us up. I want to encourage you with that, and I want to challenge you with this in conclusion. Critical to staying encouraged, critical to maintaining faith, critical to having our eyes enlightened, having a vision, spending time in the Word of God. There's no easy way around that. We live in a busy world, all right? I'm acquainted with busy. We live in a busy world. And it's so easy to delay and defer reading the Word of God. Spending time in prayer. Meditating. How are we supposed to be enlightened if we don't put ourselves where light is? If we stay where darkness is and we never gravitate and put ourselves in the place where Jesus is, how can we be encouraged? He set it up so that the Word of God, it's truth and it's right and it's light, and He made it available to us, and then He sent His Holy Spirit to come bring the Word of God alive in our hearts. But if we don't expose ourselves to the Word of God, and we're not seeking the Holy Spirit to fill us, then we're going to be in a dark room wondering why we can't see, why we don't understand, why we aren't experiencing victory, why things aren't going for us like we thought they were going to go. It's because that's our part. Lord's not going to force it on you. He's not going to cram light down you. He's not going to cram His Word of the Lord down you. It's up to you. Do you want to read it? Do you not? Do you want to give His Spirit time? Do you want to give Him place in your life? Dedicated space where He can speak to your heart and talk with you and open up the words of life so that we might see and realize, yes, He is alive. Yes, He does care about me. Yes, He will walk with me. Yes, I am forgiven. Thank the Lord. Yes, He's my God. He called my name. Yes, my name's in the book of life. Thank the Lord. As opposed to constantly walking on the road to Emmaus trying to be a Christian all at the same time. So, next time you find yourself maybe in a downward spiral of discouragement, maybe all you can see is the fog, maybe you're questioning your purpose in life, maybe you're questioning your experience with the Lord, maybe you have doubts and fears and you're not really sure where they're all coming from, but it feels really oppressive. When you feel like, well, maybe I'm not saved at all, and you start giving that some space, written space in your mind out for that kind of thing. Reevaluate where that thought is coming from. Is it your thought? Is it somebody else's thought? Is it your imagination? Is it the spirit of the world? Is it the enemy of your soul? And take courage. And take initiative. Go pick up the word of the Lord. Put yourself where the light is. Spend some more time in prayer. Ask the Lord, Lord, this is what I'm feeling. It's okay to be honest with the Lord, by the way. It's okay to tell the Lord, Lord, all I see is darkness. Lord, all I see is my failures. Lord, I don't feel you anywhere. I don't see you. Lord, I don't have faith right now. He knows that. Might as well just get it out on the table. It helps. Tell him. Tell him where you are. And seek his face. If you're on the road to Emmaus, tell him, Lord, I feel like I'm on the road to Emmaus. Lord, if my chin's down. Lord, I have doubts. I'm experiencing temptation to doubt your promises. Go to the Word of God. Go where the light is. And the Lord, He'll be faithful to you. He'll meet you where you are when it's time. He wants us to look up and away from ourselves. We get in trouble when we become consumed with our thoughts. Well, I think. Well, I thought. Well, it seems. Is it founded on the Word of God? Is it backed up by the Scriptures? Is it consistent with the promises? Has the Holy Spirit revealed that to you? If not, cast down that imagination that exalteth itself against what God wants to do for you in your life. There's much land left to possess for you. Let's not give the enemy room in our lives when we have the power of God backing us. I thank the Lord this morning for His faithfulness, His goodness, His care. Pray for me because I want to be true too. Amen.